Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
Amen. I'm going to take one of my favorite psalms. I can't take you to all of them, but from time to time we'll go to this little series. If you will, go with me to Psalms, the first chapter, Psalms 1. And it's something that we can look at together because it's such an incredible and wonderful encouragement from the word of the Lord. When Deborah and I got saved, Deborah was saved before me. But when I got saved, I didn't get saved knowing this psalm or knowing anything about the Bible. I just got saved because I was a mess and I needed God. Anybody in here like that? I mean, I just knew that I didn't want to continue the way I was going. It had to be better to be saved and become a Christian. So I got saved. And then I found out all the cool things that were involved in being a Christian and the heartbeat of God for those that serve Him. And I was just like amazed by it. Like for an example, the word gospel, you know, it means good news. You know what that really translates, good news? To the poor, you don't have to be poor anymore. To the sick, you don't have to be sick anymore. That's good news. You know, to the down and out, you don't have to be down and out. To the prisoner, you can be free wherever you're at. That's good news. And I found out that good news, the gospel, that's what this book is all about. And I found out something else, that God really wants to bless His people, wants to take them from wherever they're at into a place of blessing. When I use the word blessing, let me define it for you. It means that you are prosperous in every area of your life. I'm not talking about just money in your pocket. My goodness, come on, let's get past that silly stuff. We're not talking about that. We're talking about great marriages and raising your children. Like, am I blessed? All my children preach the gospel. And I keep telling you, I tried to talk them out of it, and yet I couldn't talk them out of it. There was something on the inside of them that they wanted to do that. And it's just amazing what God has done and is doing in our lives. We're just blessed in every area of our life. And that's what blessing is that we prosper in every area of life. God wants to do that with you. I've said it many times that God, I found out in scripture that God wants to take you to your personal promised land. And you say, well, what does that mean? That means everybody's got a promised land. God has something for you that's beyond what you can possibly ever imagine. And God has more for you than you can even think. And God wants to prosper you, bless you in every area of your life. A lot of people don't believe that. They don't believe that they've earned it. No, you haven't, but Jesus has. And that's the whole point of this. This is not about how great you are. It's about how great God is and whether or not you'll take your life and identify with how great God is. When you do, God will bless you. So here I am, an older man, and I'm standing in front of you telling you the truth. After generations of preaching the gospel, I want you to hear this. Now, I can tell you God is faithful and God wants to bless you. And so a lot of times we don't realize that. We get the weight of the world on us. You know, we have the trials, tribulations, pressures. All these things come to us and we forget about the truth that God wants to take you to your own personal promised land. So as we start to read this psalm, it really speaks of tremendous, if you will, contrast between those that serve God and those that don't serve God. Which was exciting for me because I made the commitment, hey, for the rest of my life, whatever it's worth, and it wasn't much in those days. I didn't think I had much to offer God at all. I didn't even think God really wanted me. Why would He want such a loser like me? But yet, here we find that God doesn't look at the past, He looks at the future. And if you have a future of any kind, God wants to do something great in that. And I find myself in a place where I read this and I start to see the contrast between those that serve God and those that don't serve God. The thing that's amazing to me, this is what's amazing. You can present this to people, like for an example, here's good for your life and here's rotten for your life. Which one do you want? And you'd be surprised how many people will go after the rotten. It's like a dog returning to its vomit, the Bible says. And it's like crazy to me. It's like if I had gold bars up here, they were worth $100,000 each, and I was giving them out, you know, to whoever will come up and get them. Some people would sit back and wait for me to go to them or something. They wouldn't want to get them at all. They wouldn't believe it. But here's this contrast between someone who will serve God with all their heart and someone who will serve God that won't serve God with their heart and just keep doing their own thing. And it's such an amazing difference. It's like, why wouldn't anybody see that? I mean, if you've got a life to live, don't you want to be blessed? I mean, is it not that you want to be prosperous? Don't you want marriages to work and children to work and finances to work? And no matter what the Republicans or Democrats or our pedestrians do, you keep serving God. You know, doesn't give a flip who's in the White House or who isn't in the White House. I only care who's on the throne, you know. When you realize that, all of a sudden life starts to change. You know, where everybody else is under great pressure, and under great stress, you're a person of peace and walking in tremendous joy in your life. Guys, it's available for all of us. That's called good news. That's the gospel of the Bible that's sitting on your lap. And the neat thing about it, as we start to read this, it really is cool. Let's look at the contrasts, okay? It says, blessed is the man. Let's stop right there. And all of a sudden, we take a look at the word blessed. And the word blessed is, again, prospering in every area of your life. Stop and think about it. Don't you want to prosper in every area of your life? Or do you want to just keep turning the key to your car and having the dead battery? Do you want to keep running out of gas? Do you want to never have enough? Do you want to never be able to make it? Do you want to be able to fail? Do you want your marriages to continue to lose? Do you want your kids to turn out to be horrible? I mean, guys, listen to me. Blessed. He tells us right off the very first word, he says something that all of us ought to get our attention on immediately, is the man who walks not. And I love the word not. In other words, he says, doesn't walk. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, he makes this statement, in the counsel of the ungodly. My goodness, he didn't say, blessed is the man who's walking in an ungodly manner. He says, if you walk like the rest of the world walks, then you're not going to be blessed. But if you don't walk like the rest of the world walks, but you walk like God walks, let me tell you something, now you're going to get blessed. So he makes a point here right off the bat, who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Have you ever noticed the whole world's always kind of trying to speak into your life? Like what to do and how to do it and how to feel and how to think. Then, you know, the government thinks we're just as stupid as a big giant sack of rocks. They have to figure out everything for us and make a law about it. And it's like, oh my goodness, it's like, just let's sit around and make laws because people are so stupid, they can't figure out things. And maybe that's true, but let me tell you something, my Bible says differently. I don't have to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And then he comes along and he makes this statement, nor stands in the path of sinners. I don't have to be where they're at. I don't have to do what they have to do. I have a choice to not do those things. And so for a lot of people, we don't make those kinds of choices. You see, everything that God wants to do to bring you into this, a blessing, is all about you and I making a choice, right choices. And he says these words. He says, nor stands in the path of the sinner, nor sits. So now he's got walk, standing, and sitting in the seats of the scornful. He says, in other words, get away. Divorce yourself from that which is contrary to the ways of God. And find yourself, and so many people that are Christians don't even know what is the ways of God, what isn't. They think the ways of society, social system is just the ways of God. It's not. God's completely different thinking about what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad, what's evil, what isn't evil, what's contrary to the ways of God. You know, God has a completely different set of rules, regulations. You know, a lot of people think, oh, God's just a bunch of rules, regulations. He's a party pooper. But let me tell you something. He's not. He just wants to bring you to a place of blessing. Yeah. Aren't you tired of getting beat up from pillar to post? Aren't you getting tired of not getting things done? Aren't you getting tired of living a life that just barely gets by? Aren't you getting tired? Aren't you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Well, man, if you're like me, then you got to look at this and say, there's something wrong. Maybe there's something I'm doing that I need to start really getting into. Maybe I need to get to church more than once every other week. maybe I need to get to church more than once a week. Maybe that's why they have multiple services at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, because I need to know about God more often. You know, and then if I don't have a systematic way of studying, then at least I could do is get into church and find out what the Word of God. Some of you used to come on Wednesday nights all the time. You don't anymore. That's the first step to you starting to backslide. Come on, listen to the old man. Listen, I've seen people so many years that used to, and then they don't do nothing. Eventually are gone. You got to fight to keep it up. Keep going with the things of God. And here he tells me I'm not to be involved in them. Anything that has to do that's contrary to the ways of God, I'm not going to be one who walks in it. I'm not going to be one who stands in it. I'm not going to be one who sits in it. No, I'm not going to have anything to do with it. Whatever position I'm in with God, not with the world. Is anybody listening? Why? Because he comes along and he makes this statement. He says these words, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. When you see that word law of the Lord, circle it in your Bible. He's not talking about 10 commandments. Sometimes we think the law is the 10 commandments. The law of the Lord is the word of God. That's what God's word has to say. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my word. You can't keep it if you don't know it. And then he comes along and makes this statement. He says, the delight of the Lord is the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. In other words, this guy that is getting blessed is different than the world. And you almost have to be weird. You almost have to be like, the world looks at you as weird. I was with someone the other day. They found out what I've done with my life. They sat across the table at dinner and said, why would you do that? And I said, why would I do what? He said, I'm just trying to figure you out. Why would you ever want to be a pastor of a church all of your life? And I said, well, I fell in love with Jesus. And where your treasure's at, that's where your heart is. And he's my treasure. So that's where my heart's at. And so all of a sudden I become a very weird person. And anybody that meditates his word day and night, you're gonna become to the rest of the world pretty weird. In fact, that's what it says. We're a peculiar generation in 1 Peter. Because we're different. And that's why we need to gather together, because when you're out in the world, they're all the same. But in the church, we're a bunch of different people here. We have different motives, different ideas, different vision, different goals, different dreams, different hopes, different faith. Man, different operations of love. We're different. I mean, we're different than what the world has to offer. Is anybody listening? And he comes along and he makes these tremendous statements, if you will. In verse number 3, this starts to bring us to a place of amazing abundance. You know, like I said earlier, God wants to do something great in your life. Listen to me. And he wants to take you to a place of amazing, godly abundance. I'm telling you, listen to the old man for a moment. God wants to take you to an amazing place of godly abundance. Instead of living, listen, you say, Pastor Jim, how do you know that? Just look at the Bible. I mean, God creates Adam and Eve, doesn't put them in a desert, doesn't put them on top of a mountain or in the ocean or in a valley, brings them to where? A garden, a beautiful garden where everything they could possibly want was there. And do you think God has changed his heart for mankind since then? He hasn't. His approach has changed. Now it's different because of the dispensation or time period of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, his grace. But my goodness sakes, God's heart for us, mankind, has never changed. He wants to prosper, he wants to bless you, wants to bring you to a place of incredible abundance. Verse number 3, talking about that man who's now meditating that word all the time, all the time. Talking about that person, that man or that woman who is sitting there thinking, this is about God, my life is about God. This is a God thing. This is God this morning, God tonight, God in the afternoon, God all the time. I'm listening to God, I'm thinking to God, I'm singing to God, I'm praising God, I'm hearing his word. Even if I only know 2 words and verses, I'm going to quote those 2 verses over and over again because it's a God thing. I want to get closer to God. Listen, you're obviously here tonight because you wanted to get closer to God. You could have stayed home. Sure, you're already half weird. And he makes this statement, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Oh, come on. That's a pretty cool thing. And then he says this, that brings forth the fruit in its season. I love that. Pastor Dan was talking about the fruit. It just happens. When you stick close to God, you're going to bring forth fruit. Mama and I just brought forth fruit. That's all it was. Someone says, what did you do? What did I do? I just did what I was supposed to do. I just kind of got goofy and followed God. I just believed when it wasn't time to believe and didn't look like I could believe in anything. I just thought, God's bigger than this. And if I fail, then I have failed trying. But at least I'd much rather fail trying than sit back and do nothing. Come on, somebody. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water and bring forth its fruit in season, whose leaf shall not wither. And whatsoever he does, he shall... I like that word. Whatsoever he does, he shall what? Wait a minute. Are we all in the same church building? Come on, some of you went to bed at 7 o'clock at night. This is it. Come here. Wake up now. Come on, listen to me. Whatever we shall do, we shall what?
Prosper.
I didn't write that. Someone said, oh, you're one of those prosperity people. You better believe it. I read my Bible. God wants the best for you. But it's not going to come because you're pretty or smart, cute or talented or gifted. It's going to become because your heart's right with God. And you're a little weird to the world. When you're weird with the world, you're on the right path. Boy, is anybody listening? He says, and ungodly are not so. The ungodly are not so. They're like a shaft in which the wind drives away. That's just like something that wind comes, they blow around from thing to thing. Have you ever noticed how the whole country's into this thing, and then it's into that, then it's into this, then it's into that, then it's into this, then it's into that. Oh my goodness, it's like insane. Whatever blows, everybody follows. Well, we're different. We're following Jesus. We're not shafts in the wind. We're solid and strong. God's going to prosper us, and God's going to take care of us, and God's going to bring us into our own personal promised land, which is filled with abundance. Come on, somebody. It's true, and you know it's true. And he says, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the day of judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the ways of the ungodly shall perish. Man, why would anybody not want to heed to what God just said? Why would not anybody? If you don't have anything, you have one verse and one chapter in your Bible, that's the one you young people that are Christians ought to start thinking about and reading over and over and over again. It really says there's a difference when you go for God.
Yeah.
And there's a tremendous abundance. Here's Joshua. Do you remember Joshua? Joshua's following Moses. And I love this. And he's going into the promised land. Moses has died off. But Joshua's been like a fan club of Moses. He was like there. He was really a cool guy with Moses. And Moses loved Joshua. Now Moses has died off. And Joshua's going to do what Moses didn't get the opportunity to do. Take the people into the promised land. So here are these 400 years of slavery, been, if you will, in the wilderness for 40 years. Everybody that was negative died off. Everybody that was positive was going on. And Joshua was the leader, Joshua and Caleb. And they're going to take them into the promised land. I don't know about you, but if I had that assignment from God, I'd be a little bit weary. I'm going to fill the shoes of Moses. I mean, I'm going to be do what Moses was and did. I would think that would be a tremendous pressure on anybody to try to follow Moses, wouldn't you? And here's this Joshua. Now he's being talked to by God in Joshua, first chapter. Go there with me and let's take a look at it together. Joshua, the first chapter. Starting in verse number 5, God starts to speak to him in verse number 5 of Joshua, first chapter. No man shall, and I love this, watch the promise. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. I mean, how about that for a promise from God? And he's telling this to Joshua. Joshua has probably got his knees knocking going in the promised land. There's just as big, ugly giants there used to be. And here these people have, they've been wandering around. They're not like soldiers and military mind type of people. They better have God on their back. And he says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And as I was with Moses, then he comes along and he says, and so will I be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. See, God wants to take people into the promised land. And here's what I found out. God's not a respecter of persons. If God believed that about Joshua, God could believe that about you and me. That he will never leave us nor forsake us. He didn't say you wouldn't have problems. He didn't say you wouldn't have the enemy rise up. He didn't say you were going to look like you were going to fail, but you got to keep on keeping on. He didn't say that. He didn't say that, you know, you'll never have anything but sweet, you know, kumbaya, everything is great, roses and flowers and smell. It's not that at all. Let me tell you something, serving God's tough because every demon in hell wants to stop you from getting anywhere. Because if you're ever successful, then guess what happens? People will come and try to find out what it is that made you successful. Now you become this amazing witness for Jesus. And I love this because he says these words to Joshua. He says, no man, he says, and I'll be with you and never leave you nor forsake you. Verse number 6. And then he tells him what to do. Watch this. Be strong and of good courage. Now stop right there. Look back up at me. Why do you think God said be strong and be of good courage? If God was taking you into the promised land, into some place in your future that's going to bless your socks off so you could be a witness for Jesus, because it's good news, gospel, then why would he tell you to be strong and of good courage? Because you're going to need courage and stand strong. Why? Because the enemy's going to want to try to stop you at every turn of the road. Everything that can come against you will come against you. But your God is bigger than anything that comes against you. That's what this is all about. And he comes and he says, be strong and of good courage, for the people that shall divide as an inheritance the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only the next verse starts out. Starts it again. Be strong. And then he says, very courageous, because it's going to be a battle. Here's the deal, guys. For you to be blessed, remember that first word we talked about in Psalms 1? For you to be blessed, you're going to have to be strong and of great courage, because everything is going to try to run you off from the things of God, so you become like everybody else, complacent, lukewarm, compromised, and unsuccessful. Oh, wow. And that's what happens with people. And we need to be a people that realize we have a future. I'm staying strong. We have a future, and my courage comes from God who lives on the inside of me. Not from me. I'm not so powerful, but the God who lives on the inside of me. Now, he's powerful. Come on, somebody. And see, what takes place, he says this. He says, be strong and very courageous, that you may observe and do according to all the law in which Moses, remember I told you the law means the word, the things that God spoke to them. Listen to this. In which Moses, your servant, commanded you. Do not turn to the right, do not turn to the left, that you may prosper, that you may prosper. In other words, stay focused on what it is God has you to do. God had me to pastor. I wasn't an evangelist. Everybody said I was, but I wasn't. I hated traveling. I mean, I just don't like it. Missions, oh my goodness, I couldn't eat that stuff. So So I when I went to mission field, I ran back to California to start church. Said, oh, thank God. I mean, I'll even stand in line in Disneyland and love every minute of it. So I'll just send missionary, which we have missions in 140 nations. And so, my goodness sakes alive, guys, let me tell you something. But one thing I found out is I stayed focused. And that's what he's saying right here. Don't turn to the right or to the left, that you may prosper. Because when you get watered down and compromised, you will turn to the right, turn to the left, trying to find stuff, because it doesn't make sense. Because you're saying to yourself, why is this happening to me? And you need to be strong and of good courage, because the results will come in God's timing. Is anybody listening? Very important for you to hear that, because without it, you're going to be blown away when things don't really happen to you. Verse number eight. Did I skip over? Verse number 8, but the book of the law, okay, yeah, good. Verse number 8, but the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Have we not heard that already tonight? Yeah, Psalms 1, they'll meditate on the word of God all the time. The book of the law should not meditate, so he's telling us what to do, but you shall meditate on day and night, just like he said in Psalms number 1. That, what, man, I wonder if where the writer of Psalms 1 and the writer of this, they kind of like thinking alike. Could it be God? Whoa, yes, it is. It's called the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now watch this, it's two different people, but it's God. Meditate on day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written, for then you will make your way. I didn't write this. For then you will make your way. Is that not true? And then you will have what kind of success? Good success. You know what good success is? What God says is good. Come on, it's really important for you to see. We live in a world of abundance that God promises us. I want to just share 4 or 5 of them with you real quick, and I'm going to close. This world of abundance is not just found in these verses here, pulled out of context and spoken to you. It's all through the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. God wants you to see yourself as one who needs to be blessed, wants to be blessed, and the vehicle for being blessed is God himself.
That's right.
And that's what we fail to see. This is not about how cute you are, smart you are. It's not how many degrees you have. It's not about how many talents or giftings that you have or possess. It's about how big your God is. And God could take the least of all the people, such as the one that's standing in front of you, and make him blessed in every area of his life. Because it's God that does the work. With somebody who has a heart just to follow him. Lord, you said blessed if I pour my heart into you. Therefore, and if I stand strong and keep on standing strong, don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left. You promise blessings, Lord. And I'm here to tell you, he's a faithful God. And I love this. A world of abundance is waiting for the righteous. I love those words. You ought to jot this down just for fun. You ought to meditate it just for a while. Abundant joys. I mean, joy is one thing. How about abundant joys? I mean, where there's like so much of it, it's like unbelievable. Abundant joys. Go with me to Psalms 36, verse 8. Write this down and meditate it throughout the week. Psalms 36, verse 8. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. And you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. God says there's abundant joys waiting for you. You don't have to wait for some day this sun come up the right way, the right time, the right temperature, the right place. No, you don't have to wait for that. It's abundance. It's all the time. I told mom the other day, I said, man, you're always babysitting. Do you want to babysit somebody? Mama, I love you. Babysit me. I mean, I'm starting to get a little jealous here, you know? She says, well, I love these kids. And she just abundantly enjoy looking at these kids. It's just amazing. You know, when you have 10 grandsons and 2 granddaughters and 1 great-granddaughter, there's not much time for the old man anymore. So I got to get into my Jesus. Find my pleasure there. Abundance, I love this, of joys. And I said F, joys, plural. Second one, abundance of life. I found out this, and it just shocked me. Maybe 50 years ago I found this out. Jesus is speaking in John, the 10th chapter, and verse number 10, he makes this brilliant statement. He says, the thief does not come except to steal and kill and to destroy. You know who that is? That's the devil. He's out to tear you down. He's out to stop you. And that's why you were encouraged earlier to stand strong and be very courageous, because he's out to steal from you. He's out to destroy you. He's out to kill everything that you ever dreamt of. But if you stand strong, God will be with you and help you. But Jesus comes and he says, but I have come that they may have life. How do they have life? That would be good enough if he just stopped the sentence right there, wouldn't it? I have come that they would have life. I would go, whoa, thank you, Jesus. But he defines it. He himself, I didn't say it. And that they may have it. How? More abundantly. Come on, somebody. To not want to be a Christian is like absolutely the biggest moronic decision anybody could ever make. You have mental problems if you don't want to become a Christian. And we will, after church, cast the devil out of you. We're talking about abundance. We're talking about abundance of grace. I love this one. Write it down. 2 Corinthians 9:8. We say it all the time. You ought to say it with me out loud. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things. I love the all things there. Having efficiency in not just some things, but all things. Listen to this. Have all things, may have an abundance, may have an abundance, may have an abundance, may have an abundance for what? Every good work. I just give a little here. I'm broke. I'll just give a little there. You're missing out what God has for you. God wants to take you somewhere so there's such abundance you can meet the needs of everything that comes at you. You talk about abundance. That's a powerful verse. We say it all the time. We've already said it once. Could you just repeat it out loud? It's on the overhead. All you have to do is read it. But you know, I found out that when people say things, it starts to go in. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need to say this out loud. Let's do it slowly together. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things and have an abundance for every good work. Now I want you to just do this. The last line says that, and have an abundance. When you say abundance, I want you to point to yourself. Okay? So let me just do the last line. Everybody say this out. We'll start with the word may. Ready? May have an abundance for every good work. Now point to your neighbor. May have an abundance for every good work. Now point at me. It's gone, man. It's so cool. Just so neat. Abundance. Next one is an abundance of power. Sometimes I just need power to get through, especially, you know, when you get in your 70s, you're looking at life and you're saying, my goodness, I hope I can make those steps. What the heck is that? I mean, just a few years ago, we jumped those steps. You know, but it doesn't matter because God's full of power. Go with me to Ephesians 3:20. See, these are the little verses that are common for everybody, but you need to know them, because when the time comes that pressure is on you, and you wonder where God's at because the devil's putting pressure on you, trying to run you back into the ways of the world, you need to stand strong and be of good courage. These are the verses that you need to meditate day and night. Ephesians, the third chapter, verse number 20 says this: "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly." I would have been happy just to have the word abundantly. Who is able to do abundantly? But he didn't. He puts this word exceedingly abundantly. Is that cool? Exceedingly. You know what exceedingly means? Way beyond. Way beyond you could possibly imagine. Who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you even ask or think? Man, God, I could ask and think for a lot of things. According to the power that works in us. And I love this last line. Let's look at it again. According, that means in like manner, to the power that works in us. Stop. Stop, 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 stop. According to the power that works in you. What power works in you? Some people have a little power, a little God on the inside of them. They have a little idea about God. They have a little hope that God might help them, but not much because they've asked and they don't see any results because it didn't come overnight. And this has, according, this promise comes with a caveat that says, according to the power. When the power that is in you is greater than any problems on the outside, then the problems on the outside are gone. Because the power on the inside, doesn't he say, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world? According to the power. Here's the question for all of us. What power is on the inside of you? Well, I'm a Christian. Okay, cool. I'm glad you are. But I know a lot of Christians get beat up all the time. 5 years ago, they used to be in church all the time. Now they're not in church at all. Why? Because they had a little power on the inside. They never let the God out that's on the inside of them to do great things. And you're going to have to let this God go. You're going to have to believe in and trust in him. Hold on to him. Man, that's why you stand and you keep on standing and you are encouraged all the time. Encouraged. The courage that you have comes from the power that's on the inside of you. See? Is there going to be a battle? Yes. Do you want it? No, but it will happen anyway. Are you going to be prepared for it with the power that's on the inside of you or not? According to, exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think, according to whatever, how big is a God that's on the inside of you? Come on, somebody. You know, we have a whole, we have Christendom filled, churches filled with people that go to church. They have such a little God on the inside of them. You know, we don't want to ask God too much because he's, you know, I don't want to put too much pressure on him. I don't know why, he's probably busy enough. He doesn't care about my and me so much. Let me tell you, he went to the cross and died for you. He cares about you and he can care about you and you and you and you and everybody in this room all at the same time without having any problems at all. According to the power, listen, build up God on the inside of you and you will be victorious in every area of your life. Is anybody? Okay, one more. Let's just do this. Abundant supplies. I like this one. Because God, remember we're talking about God wanting to take you to the promised land, wants to make you prosperous in every area, wants to bless you in every area of your life. And it's a talking about abundance for those that serve God. In contrast to those that don't serve God, get nothing. Fail. Philippians 4:19, familiar verse. "And my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Have you ever thought about what his riches in glory must look like? Stop thinking about it. "My God shall supply all of your needs according in likeness to his riches in glory. What is that? I mean, how rich is he? How abundant is he? How powerful is he? How blessed is he? How rich is he? I mean, when I read, I find the gold in the streets, the blacktop in the streets are made of gold, so pure that you can see through it. Who has a gate that's 1,500 feet high made? What kind of an oyster did that gate come from? I mean, it's like nuts, guys. I mean, you're talking about the riches of his, in his glory. And he'll, he says this, shall supply your needs according to in the likeness of all that he has. Oh my goodness. That's just not a verse just to pop out and think, oh, but it's a verse that says very much deep things. So God wants to take you into amazing places of abundance. In order to do so, you're going to have to follow God with all of your heart and with all of your life. And you keep focused in doing it. I'm finished. Okay.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.